Well, hey, yay God, if you had any idea of all the yay gods that are running through my mind right now. I would like you to say hello to our visitor tonight, Coy, in the back row. Take an opportunity after service to greet him and let him know you love him and how thankful we are that he came out. I don't know, I don't want to call it a nasty night, but what some people consider a nasty night. So, Coy, welcome. We're really happy to have you here tonight. I walked back close to when praise and worship was over to tell Pastor Linda. What an amazing job she did of hearing from God and choosing the songs for tonight. Now, you can say yes, but you don't even know the half of it. And none of us do because we only know our part of the story, right? Okay. I think it was the first song that said, I'm not going to be in a hurry. And I hope that as we talk tonight and you hear the message, you realize that throughout your life you need to be not in a hurry. Because it's when we move slowly, slowly, and we listen that we hear from God and we have experiences with God. We're talking about experiences with God tonight. I think it was the next song that says, people ask me, how can I praise you when all I've been through? And the song answered the question, if you were listening. And actually, the song preached the whole message. If you knew the message, you would go, I don't even have to go up there and preach tonight. Another song, one line in it said, I laid down my life. When they sang those words, Jesus said to me, I laid down my life, I laid it in you. There's a revelation you need to go home with. He laid down his life, but it wasn't for nothing. He laid it down, he took it back up when he rose from the dead, and he laid it in you. So that you can now walk this world with his life. That's amazing. And then there was a song that said, if I told you my story. Oh, well, you know, if you told me your story, I maybe know a little. If I told you my story, tonight we're going to talk about your story and the importance of the story and what to do with your story, sort of. You listen, I mean, this is just, I like to say I'm speechless, but you know I'm not because I'm talking. But I'm always so amazed at how God works things together. And you know, I call it the synchronicity of God. He just synchronizes everything. So, the title, The Lamb Walks in Your Life, probably doesn't make a lot of sense to you. It doesn't mean the lamb is walking in your life, though it's true. It means, what are the lamb walks in your life? Because we all have lamb walks in our life. Now, years ago, I went to a Bible study that I really enjoyed. And the instructor said, for next week, I want you to write about the lamb walks in your life. She did not explain them. I'm like, okay. And I went home and I thought about, you know, the Lamb of God walking in my life. And what have the lamb walks in my life been? And so I wrote about the day I came to salvation, the day I really met Jesus. And I wrote about the day that I was baptized and the day that I was filled with the Holy Spirit and the day that I lost my father and other difficult situations in my life and just the experiences I had had with God. Then I got in the class, and I wasn't the first person she called on. I never was because I seemed more shy then than I seem now. And when she called on me, I said, you know, I have to tell you, I misunderstood the assignment. Because I thought you said we were supposed to write about the lamb walks in our life. But you asked us to write about the landmarks in our life. And so people were talking about, you know, the day they got married, the day they had a baby, a special Christmas, a special birthday. Some of them talked about the day they came to salvation, the day they met Jesus. But when I shared what I wrote, it brought a whole different dimension to the discussion that day. The Lamb walks in your life are the places where you have met Jesus, where Jesus has walked with you, where your life has been changed. And I'm really glad I misunderstood, because it made me think about the importance of what I will still call the Lamb walks in my life. I also wrote a poem for that class, for that assignment, called The Lamb Walks in Our Life. The first verse read like this. The Lamb walked into my life one day with an impact so strong I died. That's what's supposed to happen when you meet Jesus. A collision of two natures, an exchange of lives, his for mine. You heard the song that said, and he said, I laid down my life, I laid it in you. A collision of two natures, an exchange of lives, his for mine. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like when the Lamb walks in our life. Our first scripture, John chapter 1, verse 29. John saw Jesus coming toward him the next day. The next day being a day after some representatives from Jerusalem who were priests and Levites had come to where John was baptizing by the Jordan to ask him, who the heck do you think you are? Why are you baptizing? And John told them, well, I'm not the Messiah, if that's what you're thinking, but I am the one who goes before him to prepare the way. And so John gave them just a little taste of who he was. And of course, they went away very skeptical. But John saw Jesus coming toward him the next day, and he said, look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the Lamb who is walking in your life. The day we recognize Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, our personal sin, is the first Lamb walk in your life. It's a day, it's an experience that we never forget. It's a day when we received God's nature, his life, we became a follower of Christ, and we began a journey to be like him. The Lamb should be walking in your life every single day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. You know that. But do you think about it? I laid down my life. I laid it in you. You're a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. His life for mine. God, I mean, it just, oh, thank you, God. Our experiences with God are designed to ground us. How can I still praise you after all I've been through? Because I've had experiences with you that ground me, that strengthen me, that strengthen you, that grow your faith, that draw you closer to him. They become landmarks to encourage you. When you go through something difficult, those landmarks, those Lamb walks are there to strengthen and encourage you. Those experiences with him that you will never forget, they're supposed to ground us in difficult times. The Lamb was walking in the life of the... Oh, did we go on? Oh, I'm sorry. Next verse, please. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. John saw Jesus walk by. John said, look, this is the Lamb of God. When the two disciples who were standing with him heard John say this, they followed Jesus. The Lamb was walking in their lives that day. That was the day when those two disciples were approached by the Lamb, and they recognized it. They didn't know where it would lead them, but they recognized the importance of the moment. Do you recognize the moments when God is offering you an experience with Him? Not if you're in a hurry. That's why that song, I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm going to take time to listen. I'm going to take time to see. Tonight, we want to become more aware of the moments when God is offering us an experience with Him. The moments when the Lamb is standing there desiring to walk with you in your life. And I pray that you're not in too much of a hurry. We want to be more responsive to them. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Your life is a journey. You knew that. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It is imperative that we always have God in our thoughts. That we're always like on alert for His voice whispering in our heart. That we're always attuned to the Holy Spirit so that we do not miss the encounters with Him that He is planning for us. There are people who are not here tonight because of the weather, and they are missing encounters that God has planned for them. Every time you come here, and it's not just here, everywhere in your life, God has encounters with Him planned for you. Encounters that nobody else can participate in. Nobody else participated in that day when the Lamb first walked in your life and you realized who He was. And nobody can participate in the encounters with Him that you experience on a day-to-day basis. In fact, I challenge you to try to share those experiences with people and see that it means the same to them as it does to you. You can't do it because those encounters, those experiences come by the revelation of God. And you can't share a revelation. You can tell somebody what your revelation is, like I just told you God said to me, I laid down my life, I laid it in you. But it didn't hit you like it hit me when I was standing over there and He said it to me. It was such an experience with Him at that moment, so strong that I almost fell on the floor. Because God showed me something in a way I had never seen it before. Yeah, I knew His life was in me, but I never thought about it in that way. I laid it down. I laid it in you. What an amazing thing. Okay, so in this, what I will call chaotic, crazy, upside down, sideways world, ever-changing world, where marriages crack under the slightest pressure, where the stock market shakes and trembles with every world or national event, when people's lives are upended in an instant with a phone call, with a medical diagnosis, a tragedy, in this world where friends betray one another over very little things, God's word is the only stable foundation that doesn't change. The only stable thing that doesn't shift with time or with circumstances. God does not crack under pressure. And His promises are true. Let's look at Joshua 23, verse 14. Pay attention. This is Joshua talking to the children of Israel. Pay attention, because I will soon die like everyone else. You know with all your heart and soul that not one single promise which the Lord your God has given you has ever failed to come true. Every single word has come true. These were words spoken by Joshua to the nation of Israel, who had been released from slavery in Egypt, spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, finally obtained the land that God promised them, and entered into the promises that God had spoken over them centuries before. They knew the promises that were given to their forefathers. They hoped for the fulfillment of these promises, and they acted on the promises when the time came. So you need to know that not every promise that God gives you today will be fulfilled tomorrow. And do not be shaken, disappointed. Don't crack when the promises that He gave you delay. How's that? And how often do we hear Bishop and Linda say, delay is not denied? Okay. So we need experiences with God. We need experiences with God. We need the book, the Word. We need to know His Word, be familiar with His Word, and we need to go beyond the book into experiences with God. It's one thing to read a book, and it's a totally different thing to know the author. If you know the author of a book, you have insight into why he wrote the book he wrote or she wrote. You have insight into their feelings that don't come through for people who don't know the author. It's one thing to know the Bible, and it's another thing to live with the author. Another thing to have experiences with the author day by day. The Holy Spirit, God, is so eager to provide experiences for us with himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, to the glory of God through us. There's never failed, not one of his good promises. Our experiences are not only for us. The importance of your story. It's not only for you. Yes, it's for you. Yes, it's to strengthen you, encourage you, anchor you, draw you closer to him. But it is also for others. It is for those who are watching your life. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says that we are living letters written by God. You're a letter from God to all those people who see you. A letter written by God. And God gets glory through you. What he does for us that the world sees and we give testimony of brings him glory. If I could tell you my story, right? If Tamara could tell you her story, if Linda, Pastor Linda, could tell you her story about her flat tire, if we could tell you our stories, you would see God. And we can tell our stories. The experience that we have with him make the Word of God come alive. They make our faith come alive. They ground us. They hold us when things seem to be falling apart all around us. It is the experience, as we experience the God of the Bible, the living Word, it's as we experience him that he becomes real to us. The written Word, the Bible, is intended to lead us into experiences with God. If you're just reading the Word and learning the Word and never having experiences with God, it hasn't led you where it's intended to lead you. We are to have experiences with God himself. And it's one thing to read a book, as we said a minute ago, and it's another to know the author intimately from a life full of personal experience with him. That's why Bishop says, I don't believe in God. I know God. Because he has a life full of experiences with God that nobody can talk him out of. As he has said, if I say I believe in God, people can talk me out of that. But I know him. I have a life full of experiences with him. And nobody can take those away, and nobody can talk you out of them. Why do you think authors hold book signing events and people flock to them? Because they want an experience with the author. They go buy the book and have him sign it. Why do people flock to concerts? Buy front row seats, pay extra money for personal time with the artist before the concert, try to get autographs, souvenirs, pull a piece of a lock of the hair out, pull a piece of their clothing off, grab a shoe. Why do people do that? They want anything the celebrity touched. They're looking for an experience with the artist. You may not believe this. I have a hard time believing this, but I know it's true. A piece of gum, chewed, already been chewed gum. A piece of gum chewed by Britney Spears was up for auction on eBay. up for auction. Hey, it sold for $14,000. Okay, let's just leave that lay there and go on. Why does Disney hold meet and greets with their many costume characters? Because children are hungry for an experience. They flock to hug Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Buzz Lightyear, Woody. Why does Disney make so much money off of the breakfast with the characters or the lunch with the princesses? Because the children want an experience with their favorite characters. Now, don't laugh about that, because you were created for experiences. It was God who put inside you the hunger, the desire for experiences, only that those experiences were supposed to be with Him. Are you hungry for experiences with the living God? He's the one who created you to have experiences. Throughout biblical history, it has always been about the experiences. If you think of the history, let's say, of the Old Testament and all the things that are recorded in him, they are the experiences that people had with God. Adam and Eve. They walked and talked with God in the garden, and they looked forward to his coming every day. They had an experience with God every day. The account of Abraham's life in Genesis is full of experiences with God, beginning with God telling him to get out of this country where you've always lived and go to another land that I'm going to show you that you don't know anything about. Just follow me and go there. That was an encounter with God. And it was the beginning of God instructing him and leading him into a life filled with encounters with God. If you think about Abraham's life, think about all the encounters with God he had. And then there was Jacob, who built an altar in the place where he saw God standing at the top of a ladder and angels descending and ascending. In the Old Testament, altars were always built at the places where someone had an experience with God. Every altar was built because they had an experience with God. And those altars were there to commemorate what God did, to remind them what God did, to remind other generations of what God did, to encourage others who came after them. David had experiences with God as a shepherd on the hillside. He said, I killed the lion, I killed the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like one of them. He had experiences with God that set him up for a lifetime of trusting God in difficult times. Read his history. The Psalms are filled with his accounts of experiences with God. How about in the New Testament, Zacchaeus, the little guy, the short guy, who wanted to see Jesus, and he was too short to see Jesus, and he's coming down the road, and the crowd is too tall and too big, and so he climbs up a tree so he can see Jesus. He just wanted to see him. But Jesus said, get down here. I got to come to your house today. And Zacchaeus had an experience with God that day that ended up with him being completely changed. Go read his story. After the resurrection, Jesus met some of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. They had seen Jesus crucified. They thought he was dead and gone. But Jesus met some of them on the road to Emmaus. And they walked with him, and they talked with him on the road. And later they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? We didn't recognize at that minute who it was. But we should have, because that anointing was there. Our hearts were burning within us. It wasn't until they sat down to eat and Jesus broke bread that they realized who he was. And then he disappeared in the blink of an eye. Pastor Linda knows about disappearance in the blink of an eye. We may talk about that a little later. They had an experience with God that opened their eyes and caused them to realize who this person was and that their beloved had risen from the dead. Now let's go back and read the rest of the story in John chapter 1. We read where two disciples, John said, behold, look, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and the two followed him. John 1:37, and we'll go all the way to 51, but we'll go in pieces. When the two disciples heard John say this, they followed Jesus. Jesus turned around and saw them following. He asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" They didn't care where Jesus was staying. That is not what they wanted to know. They wanted to spend time with him. Let's see the next verse. Jesus told them, "Come and see." So they went to see where he was staying, and they spent the rest of that day with him. And it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. They didn't want to know where he was staying. They wanted to meet this man, this person that John said, "Look, it's the Lamb of God." They wanted an experience with him. And so they followed Jesus home. And they stayed all day. How about that? Somebody meets you on the street and they say, "Hey, where do you live?" "Oh, come and see." And they stay for the whole day. Yay, God. Okay, verse 30. I read that one. Okay, so let's look at what happened next then. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John say, "This is the Lamb of God," and followed Jesus. Andrew, now look how impacted he was by his time with Jesus. Andrew at once found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. He was so impacted by his encounter with Jesus that he went and found his brother, Simon Peter. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon." Now, Jesus hadn't met him yet. This happened before the time when Jesus went when they were fishing and called him to come, "Leave your boats and follow me." This happened earlier. So this is Simon Peter's first encounter with Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. Your name will be Cephas," which is called Peter. And right there you know that God intended to have more experiences with him, more encounters with him, spend more time, because I'm going to call you Cephas. Okay, let's go on. The next day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. So he found Philip, whom we have not heard about yet, and said, "Follow me." What did Jesus do right there? He invited Philip into an experience with him. He invited Philip. Can you, when you're standing here during worship night, hear God inviting you into an experience? Can you hear him say, "Come on, follow me"? Not if you're in a hurry. Not if you're too busy talking or walking and not paying any attention. Not if you're not focused on him. But he invited Philip into an experience with him. Philip was from Bethsaida, the same hometown as Andrew and Peter. So, going on, the chain keeps moving. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the man whom Moses wrote about in his teachings and whom the prophets wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from the city of Nazareth." So here's Philip. Jesus has just said, "Come follow me." And he's had his encounter. And he's running to find his friend Nathanael and telling him, "This is who I met. This is who I met. Come on. Come on." Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" In other words, "Oh, yeah, right. You got to be kidding." Philip told him, "Come and see." See how wise Philip was? He didn't try to talk him into anything. He just said, "Come and see." Knowing that when Nathanael came, he would have an encounter with Jesus, and he wouldn't have to be talked into anything. "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he remarked, "Here is a true Israelite who is sincere." Other translations say, "in whom there is no guile, who is faultless, who is filled with integrity, no deceit in him." Nathanael asked Jesus, "How do you know anything about me? You trying to tell me who I am, and we never met. How do you know anything about me?" Jesus answered him, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." You get that? Before Philip called him, Jesus had already had his eye on him. Jesus already saw him under the fig tree. Nathanael said to Jesus, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." I'm going to say how simple it is when Jesus invites a person into an encounter with him. When the Lamb walks in their life, how easy it is for them to recognize him. Let's see. When Nathanael came, he had his own experience with God. He said, you are the Son of God. And he was convinced, and he believed that this was the Son of God. So, verse 50, Jesus replied, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? That's great. But listen, you're going to see much greater things than that." Jesus is promising him a life full of encounters, a life full of indescribable experiences, things greater than me knowing who you were before I ever met you. I can guarantee you this truth. You will see the sky open and God's angels coming down to the Son of Man. There were many remarkable experiences with Jesus waiting for these men as they followed him. The same is true of us. There are so many more experiences with God waiting for us as we follow him. Many of them are so amazing you can hardly believe them, right, Jeannie? Jeannie used to see silver and gold. I don't know if you still do when we spoke. And of course, she was so afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit until he knocked her down a few times. And, you know, I remember the first time she experienced holy laughter. Those are amazing experiences that neither she or those of us who witnessed it will ever forget. God grounds us with those kinds of experiences. Now, you and I, we are blessed to be part of a church where providing opportunities for you to experience God is a priority. There's a lot of thought, a lot of careful planning, prayer, careful execution that goes into every service, every event, everything we do here in order to provide you with the opportunity to have an experience with God. It's up to you to recognize the opportunity that's being offered you, like these men did, and position yourself to experience them. Very recently, we had baptism. Baptism is an amazing opportunity to experience God. It's supposed to be an experience with the living God, not just a ritual, as it is in so many churches. Before baptism, Bishop taught a class preparing us for that experience. And as he began the class, he talked about the importance of not being distracted by physical things such as the temperature of the water. Because the truth is, Savannah, that song you sang, the truth is that it's so easy for natural things to distract us from the experiences that God wants us to have. And Bishop told us that because it's his heart that everyone has the opportunity to experience God when they get in that water. Everyone has the experiences that are available to him. There were many beautiful experiences with God at that baptism. For each of you who had an experience with him that day, your experience was individual. Yours wasn't like mine. Mine wasn't like yours. But we each had an experience. That day was carefully planned to provide you with the opportunity, and only you could step into that opportunity to have an experience with God. Only you could prepare yourself and position yourself to receive. Only you were able to come with the expectation and hunger to enter into that experience. The next day we had a communion service that was filled with the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the life of God from beginning to end, carefully planned and prayed over to provide opportunities for you to experience God. It's true of every service. Experiences with God should be part of every service for you, whether it's in prayer, and it touches your heart in a special way, worship, like I told you about tonight, whether it's during the message and you feel sometimes you've said this, I think God was talking right to me. Yes, he was. He was providing an experience with you under the anointing through his word. And it might be in all of those parts of the service, and actually, friends, it should be. It should be that we experience him in all those parts of the service. Those are precious experiences with a God. They're times that cause us to grow and change and become stronger. If I think back, I can think of a number of messages that Bishop has preached that were life-changing. I remember when he taught Air Is Not Free. And he was teaching us that we are atmosphere changers. That we carry the atmosphere of heaven, and we are responsible to take that atmosphere where we go and change the atmosphere around us. Air is not free. You pay a high price to carry the atmosphere of God with you. Your daily life should be full of experiences with God. Not just at services, not just at special events, but every day. Maybe you're on the phone with someone, you're having a conversation, or you're having a conversation around lunch, and God gives you a word for the person that you're with that just absolutely was exactly what they needed to hear. And you didn't plan it. You probably didn't even know you were giving them the exact word that they needed to hear. But God did. You had an experience with God, and so did your companion. How about, have you ever been driving along and you saw a sign or a billboard that spoke to you in an entirely different way than what was intended by what was on the billboard? And you suddenly realize that God is trying to instruct you or encourage you. You had an encounter with God. Do you think about those things? Do you realize all those moments are encounters with God? They are lamb walks. They are footprints of the Lamb of God in your life. Maybe I have experienced this one. Maybe you're doing some mundane task around the house, such as washing dishes. And you suddenly realize what a privilege it is to wash dishes, because it means you had food to eat, and you had a way to prepare it, and you had people to share it with. And maybe you've seen a cloud that looks like angels, and you're reminded of God's protection over you. Or maybe you've observed somebody doing an act of kindness, and it touched your heart, and it reminded you how important it is in our world to be kind. You have had experiences with God that supernaturally protected you or provided for you or provided through you. I had a young person come to my house a while ago asking me if I could help them get diapers. I'm 78 years old. I don't have a baby. I don't have grandchildren. My grandchildren are in New Jersey and they're in fourth grade. I have no reason to have diapers in my house. And I didn't have a car that day to go get diapers for them, and they didn't have a car. But what I did have that God reminded me of was a pack of diapers on the top shelf of a closet that I had bought for another purpose, and they were just the right size. And I was able to give them the diapers that they needed. That was an experience with God for me and for them. Pastor Linda had a flat tire recently, and you'll have to ask her for all the details because I don't have time. But she and Tamara were returning from a trip to the beach, and God had instructed Pastor Linda to go on this trip. So you don't expect trouble. At least I don't. You told me to do this, God. I'm going to get in trouble doing it. But they had a flat tire on Highway 70, which is a terrible place to have a flat tire. God immediately sent an angel who changed the tire and had them back on the road in 5 minutes. That's, I don't know what's the word for that. That's unbelievable. 5 minutes to change a tire on a busy highway? And then disappeared in the blink of an eye as soon as he put the tools in the trunk. In her own words to me, she said, "It's an experience I'll never forget." That's why God gives them to us, so that we will never forget them. His supernatural experiences are, as I said, I'm going to say it again, designed to anchor us, to strengthen our faith, to draw us closer to him. And some of the greatest experiences that we have with God come during some of the toughest times of our life. When Tamara was in that coma and God supernaturally brought her out of it, it was a tough time. But she will tell you that she was reborn in that time and she had indescribable experiences with God that she'll never forget. I will never forget when Hurricane Irma was passing right over us and I was praying for God's protection and he showed me an angel clad in golden armor with a gold sword held high above his hand standing on the side of the property and he said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." An encounter with God. When our oldest son passed away, it was an unspeakably challenging time. And I still clearly remember saying that during that time, I have discovered in new depths of God that I never knew existed. Some things of God you can only discover in your deepest sorrow. I remember grief like that comes in waves, and it just overwhelms you. Just covers you over. And I remember that when those waves of grief would start to rise up, that the presence of God and the peace of God and the joy of God would begin to rise up inside me and overcome. Bam! I mean, just totally dissipated them. Because he is so much stronger than death. There are depths of God that you will never discover until you go through tragedies. When you have a loved one that's very sick and you're praying in that time and you find strength and peace in God that you didn't know existed, that's an encounter with God. Jeremiah says, "Then you will call to me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you." Yeah, this comes right after "I know the plans I have for you." Because Israel is in a desperate way, and God told him, "I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, plans to give you a future, give you hope. Then you will call on me and come to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, the "with all your heart," when you are so desperate, I'm the only one you're looking for. When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And one translation, I love it, says, "When you seek me with all your heart, I will allow you to find me." Because he does have to allow us to find him. When we are seeking him with all our heart, when we are intent on seeing him every day, when we are paying attention to the little details in our life, when we are not in a hurry, when we are expecting him to meet us there, he will meet us with experiences that will anchor us and strengthen us. We have to keep our eyes open for the little things that God is doing around us, the little things he's doing through us on a daily basis. And then we'll have experiences with him. I remember a few years back in a troubled time for me, and I loved, then I could still run a little bit, trot, let's call it that. And I was trotting down a trail with my dog, and I glimpsed a flash of blue off to my right, and I loved to take pictures. So if I found a pretty picture, I always stopped and take a picture. But that glimpse, that little flash of blue was so tiny, I wasn't sure I even saw it. I went back to look for it, and I dug through the weeds, and I dug through the grass that was there, and finally I found this teeny, tiny, it was, if you look at the tip of your baby finger, it was probably cut your finger in about 5 pieces. It was so tiny, minuscule. So tiny that what I did was I put my phone down and I took a picture and I looked at it to see what it exactly looked like. It was so small and filled with such intricate detail, I marveled that God could put such intricate detail into something so small. But as I marveled at that, God said, "I see you." See, that was an experience with God. "I see you. I see every detail of your life." Keeping our eyes open every day for the little experiences and the big ones that God is providing. Let's look at the last verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23 and 25. "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. You have been born of the living, enduring word of God, and it does not perish. It's not like, you know, all the people are like grass and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fail. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The experiences he has given you, what he has taught you through the word and through his your experiences with him. This is the word that was preached to you. This is the word that is to encourage you, to strengthen you, to anchor you, to draw you closer to him. Every experience with the living word is the word being preached to you. It is. It has to line up with the written word. It is the thing that brings the written word to life in your heart, your experiences with God. I challenge you to slow down, to watch for the little moments. Listen for the sweet, soft whisper of his voice and enter in to those experiences that he's offering you. Because then when you say, oh, if I could tell you my story, you would have such a story. And you do have. And every day of our lives, God is adding to our stories if we will allow him. Thank you, God, for who you are, for how you love us, for how deeply you care for us and watch over us. And for your heart, Father, that you desire us to know you so well, to experience depths of you that other people don't even know about. I pray, Father, that every person in this room gives their heart to hungering for those experiences with you. When we seek you with all our heart, you will allow us to find you. Amen.